Kizzy and Ian Nesbitt, good morning.
Hi,
Good
Cora.
morning, Cora.
Actually, afternoon, isn't
Afternoon.
Oh, thank you.
it?
So Tracy and Ian, the two of you have expertise in the area of personal development. This program is about looking at personal transformation through the art of business. Tell us a bit about yourselves.
Hey, well, I had my what you would call like an awakening experience in '93. That sort of woke me up to myself in a way that was made me question a lot of things, question how the world works, question, what we're really about. So you could say I started my transformational journey from that point onwards. And I realized I had a great fascination with human dynamics, and I went on to study business and to become a management consultant. I worked, all around Australia, but I was actually training in America, and I realized that I had a gift for coaching people and supporting people to realize what their purpose in life was, what their dreams are, what they really want. And so, with the help of Tracy, we met 10 years ago. And Tracy, do you want me to talk, or do you want to say what you
Oh,
did?
no.
And Tracy was doing transformational work through energy healing and body work, and teaching people how to relate to their body as a as an energy system. And I felt like we were coming from different angles, but we were looking at the same outcome, which was, waking people up to themselves, having people really get what their deeper sense of purpose was in life, and also their greater desires. And so we joined forces and started to develop public programs. And one of the programs that we've recently developed is called Power and Love, which is the one that you're familiar with. And really have people live a more deeply authentic life and to really understand themselves on a deeper level. And so, yeah, that's what we're passionate about.
Tracy, do you want to add to that?
I think the only thing to add is just, I guess for me, the journey has been about letting myself be curious about things that I didn't really understand. I actually have a background in professional clowning. I was a professional clown in my 20s. And I met a partner who had a severe case of rheumatoid arthritis. And I really desperately wanted to help him. And at that point, I started to understand that there were things about how the mind and the emotions affect the body that were starting to become sort of clear to me after years of study that, we're incredibly complex as human beings. And there's a lot of programs that we've picked up, especially when we're young. We're like sponges, and in our school and in society, we pick up these programs. And a lot of them, these programs are actually on a subconscious level, which can actually, some programs are good and some programs have us working against ourselves. So I guess part of my inquiry, my curiosity was, well, which programs are working for me and which programs are actually making my body sick and other people making their bodies sick? If you're looking at, taking a holistic approach to illness as well, that it's more than just a physical cause and there are many contributing factors, which I knew was the case with my ex as well, having gone through childhood trauma. So yeah, for me it's about understanding how what's possible for us once we can kind of look at where we're operating from and coming from and able to kind of, I guess when I met Ian, it was about, and Ian took me through his 3-month coaching program, which completely shifted a lot of the negative programs that I was holding on to, beliefs, around, me doubting myself and self-criticism and just limiting my creativity, my potential, and seeing my value. There were so many things that were holding me back. So to with Ian's help, I was able to let go some of those beliefs and some of those stories that I really held on to tightly. And then, my whole world started to open up and I started to discover parts of myself that didn't even know were there. And that's really exciting. And that's, you know, one of the main motivating factors with the work that we do. We love helping people just move outside of the known into areas that they may not know didn't exist and are there within themselves. So so that they can live, you know, more fuller lives, more expressive lives, more deeper, richer lives, because they're aware of a lot more to them rather than just what we're told who to be and what to do, if that makes sense.
How do you think that process begins? Like, is it, first of all, an idea there could be more? Like, if you're in the thick of the, let's use the caterpillar and butterfly metaphor. If you're in the thick of the mush, how do you know? Like, there are probably people who don't really think about this sort of thing.
I think when you talk about the mush, I've probably got a slightly different analogy for it, which I think probably captures it sort of better for the initial stages. Yeah, is when you think about looking at yourself, it's like you walk into a room. And when you walk into that room, what you see is just crap everywhere. There's stuff on the floor. There's papers all over the place. It's just stuff all over the place. And often what people do is they look at that and they think, oh, God, that's too much to deal with. I'm just going to leave it and walk out. And so really the first step in the transformational journey is being willing to look at that room and say, I want to sort this out. I want to sort this room out. I want to start to bring order. I want to throw some of those things away that I'm no longer using. I want to, you know, get all those bits of paper and put them into filing cabinets. I want to clean up that desk. I want to make room so there's space in which to operate in, is space in which you can be. And what Tracy's sort of saying before as well is that when you do that, when you actually sort that initial room out, what's comes to people's realization is, oh wow, there's a door over there and I never saw that door before, and that door actually takes you into another room. And when you go into that room, you suddenly discover, oh wow, there's this whole side of myself that I never even got to look at or see or discover or experience because I was so busy just trying to deal with the mess in the initial room. So for us, that's a great analogy of starting the journey of transformation, is you've got to be willing to, in a sense, take yourself on. You've got to be willing to go, okay, I've got to put in some work here to sort this initial room out, you know, and yeah.
A decluttering process.
A decluttering process, that's for sure, yeah. And there's an amazing feeling that you get when you do that. You know, as everyone knows, when you sort out your crap and you throw stuff out and you make room for things, there's an incredible sense of integrity and power and freedom and space. There's space. We don't realize what that space feels like until we've actually got it. You know, we don't realize how much that all that clutter took up until we actually make space. And so that then gives people the incentive to want to do more of that.
All right, let's talk about more after this song.
I'm ego. It's not a thought it was. Ego. Exercise it daily and get it all on tape. 'Cause ego, it's not a dirty word. Ego, it's not a dirty word. Ego, it's not a dirty word. Don't you believe what you've seen or you've heard. Ego, it's not a dirty word. Ego, it's not a dirty word, dirty word, dirty word. Ego.
Living, working and playing in the Yarra Valley, the home of Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business with Tracy Marcuzzi and Ian Nesbitt. We're talking about the transformational process being like decluttering a room at the very beginning. Tell us more about that.
It takes quite a bit of willingness. You know, you have to have a really strong desire to want to change the situation. And what seems to happen, you know, and what we've discovered, you know, and this is especially over many, many years of working with people, is that we have these different aspects of ourselves which either want to sabotage that situation or want to hijack that situation, right? So what we mean by that is, we've got a character, for instance, which we call the disempowered character. And the disempowered character is that side of us that feels disempowered about things. It rejects things. It feels sad or lonely or disheartened. Yeah, there's no power there. There's no feeling of willingness at all. And so, you know, often when people come to face all the clutter, the disempowered character kicks in and they go, oh, God, I can't deal with it. That's all too much. It's too hard. It's too difficult. It's overwhelming. Don't want to look at it. And so they just close the door on it, or they sweep it under the carpet, as we say as well. So that's one character that plays out in us. And that sabotages our own desire to want to develop ourselves. But then what happens is, even if you get past that character, and you say, no, I'm really going to take this on. I'm really going to do it. I'm going to make a difference. Then we find there's another character, and that character goes into sort of hyper mode. I've got to get this sorted out. I've got to change these things. I've got to make differences to everything. And so it actually hijacks the process, and it turns the person into a sort of a frantic version of themselves. You know, there's this desire to want to get somewhere, to want to be something, to want to have something, to, you know, I've got to get on top of this, or else it's all going to be too difficult, too hard. And so there's this desire to want to succeed with it. But it's coming from our identity. It's coming from our ego identity. You know, it's coming from a fear-based reality. You know, there's no love present. And when there's no love present, then there's really no power really present. You know, there's a little bit of power, but there's not really any balance.
It's kind of like when you want to prove something, and I think I can speak from experience of like, oh, no, I'm going to sort this out because I want to prove this to myself, or I want to prove this to others, or, you know, this desire to, you know, achieve some sort of
success
or status or something that you can just desperately hold on to, because that's what the ego likes. It wants something it can hold on to and identify with. Mm. It doesn't like the unknown. It doesn't like, you know, not knowing what it is, and having some sort of level of status or power.
So that part of us wants, has this idea of what success is going to look like. You know, so if I clean this room up and I do this and do this and do this, then this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I'm going to get a better job and people are going to like me more and things are going to happen that are more beneficial for me. And so we set this sort of, in a sense, we set ourselves up to fail, because what we discover is that when we're operating from that fear-based reality, even if you do manage to clean everything up and sort everything out, which is highly unlikely, but even if you did, you're left with this deep sense of dissatisfaction and unfulfillment. There's no satisfaction in it. There's no fulfillment in it.
Why is that?
Because it's coming from fear, and it's coming from the feeling that you're lacking something in some way. Something's missing. So you're doing it from the point of view that there's something wrong with you, and you're trying to fix what's wrong with you by cleaning up this room. So it's not like you're just coming from the space of, I've got this room, I've got all this stuff that's going on here, I'm just going to lovingly go about cleaning up everything and sorting things out, because that's a great act of self-love. We're doing it in order to achieve something. We're doing it in order to get something or have something or be something. But by doing that, we actually sabotage ourselves. We're actually undermining who we already are. And this is the thing with these characters. They're quite complex. You know, we take people through a 3-month process just for them to get and understand how these characters play out for people. But basically what we see is that the disempowered character doesn't want you to succeed. It doesn't want you to clean the room up. It's overwhelmed. It doesn't have the ability to do that. It wants to shut you down, switch you off, and make you avoid. While the other character, which we call the wannabe character, it wants to be successful. It's got this idea of what success looks like, and so it wants to be that. So it's doing everything in its power to try and be that. And so it tries to sort things out, but that's not transformation. You know, that's just a fear-based reality trying to have control over something.
Mm.
In transformation, you don't have control.
Wow, that sounds intriguing. I think a lot of us can feel quite, you know, can relate to those two characters, but the character who actually does things in a transformational way, let's talk about, is there a character or is it just you?
No, that's just you. And that's the transformational process, is when you realize these two characters are playing out against one another. They're actually in collusion with one another to some degree. So one's like, don't do that, and the other one's like, I've got to do that if I want to succeed. You know, so you swing on a pendulum back and forth between the two, from being disempowered about the situation to trying to be empowered, to be disempowered to trying to be empowered. If you can imagine it, it's almost like there's an elastic band attached to them together. So one's running as far away from the other as he possibly can, and then they just fling back together. So it's, you know, you go back and forth between these two spaces, and I don't, you know, disempowered, I can't deal with that, just trying to be empowered. And this is what we do. We do this a lot in business, particularly. We're trying to be empowered, we're trying to get ahead, we're trying to get somewhere. You know.
And that's because the disempowered character deep down doesn't believe it is something, doesn't believe it is it, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't believe it's capable. It lacks the self-worth. It lacks sort of the belief in the heart and the, you know, somewhere along the journey, which many of us went through as children, you know, we had an experience where we weren't allowed to express a part of us, and that part of us was made wrong. So we can take on the disempowered, you know, part of us takes on and we turn it into a character that, you know, that believes that we're wrong or we're not capable, basically. Mm. So the wannabe is always trying to override this belief that you're not it.
Mm. That we're not capable, that we're not loved, that we're not liked, that we're not good enough. we're not intelligent enough, that we're not beautiful enough,
not
that
wanted.
You know, there's something that we're not. That's really deeply intrinsically there in ourselves that we you know, if you ran up to someone, put a gun against their head and said, "Who are you really?" They would say, "I'm my disempowered character." That's who they would think they are. It's actually not who we are, but it's who we think we are, because it's the programming that we've received, that we picked up. And that's the first programming we get, the disempowered character is the first programming that we receive at maybe 3 years of age.
Wow. So let's talk more about this after this next song. Listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business, and my very special guests are Ian Nesbitt and Tracy Marcuse. We're talking about decluttering our room as part of the transformational process, and that at times we swing between feeling overwhelmed or feeling pumped and wanting to get that job done. And both of those ways of being are often not way to get it done. So there's another way. What is this other way?
Well, I feel, I think what we start to see is that when you have to sort of tire out that process to some degree. You have to see that that's like a pendulum swing, and you have to really start to become aware that that's what you're doing, that you're being disempowered, trying to be empowered, being disempowered, trying to be empowered. And the process of wearing yourself down with that. And often when people do come to that realization, there's a little bit of a, well, you know, it depends on the person, but there can be often a feeling of despair that comes with that. Because, you know, you feel like there's no way out of the situation. I'm either going to feel like crap about myself and be disempowered, or I'm going to try and get ahead, but then just end up falling down and end up feeling disempowered again. So you know, when people realize that dynamic, it becomes quite challenging. And this is where we feel, you know, you have to come back to feeling. You have to come back to love. You have to understand what we're talking about when we say love. We're not talking about heady romantic love. We're not talking about Hollywood love. We're talking about compassion. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about appreciation. We're talking about, you know, generosity. We're talking about these qualities that we define as love, because the English language isn't great at sort of coming up with another word for it. But it's those qualities. It's bringing yourself back to those qualities of appreciation and gratitude for what is, and accepting what is. You know, because with that character that's trying to get ahead, just as much as the character that just wants to pretend it's not there, they're both not accepting what is. They're both not allowing what is just to be okay. So the first step has to be just looking at that room, looking at that mess, looking at all the things that are in that room, and saying to yourself, it's okay that it's like this. You know, it's okay that it's a mess. That's part of being a human being. You know, that's the human part of human being, right? It's messy. And so, you know, once we can accept that, then you can just start off with that one piece of paper, right? You can pick up that one piece of paper and go, okay, what's this? What do I need to do with this? And so, you know, we have like what a friend of mine, a spiritual friend in New Zealand said to me one time, which was that, you know, we start to develop this gentle aspiration. You know, it's not a drive. It's not a force. It's just a simple aspiration, a very gentle aspiration to want to sort ourselves out, you know, to want to start to put things away, to want to make sense of things. And that's the start of the journey, is the sense of just being, firstly, accepting what is. If you can't accept what is, then you're always going to be fighting with what is. You're always going to be trying to do something to counter what is.
Well, you're fighting reality, aren't
you?
You're
fighting reality. Mm. You're fighting yourself, you know. And so that's the first step, is, you know, you get present to the room. You get present to what's in there. You know some of it you're not ready to look at. There might be stuff in the corner over there that you just think, oh, God, I definitely don't want to start over there. Someone like me, though, I would do that. Certainly, it depends on how you are as a person, right? You know, you want to get into the deepest, darkest, dirtiest, shittiest things first and deal with them first. You know, you can't be bothered with the bits of paper, you know? And so it depends on the personality of the person, how they like to take themselves on and how they like to go. But they have to start with the acceptance of what's in the room to the best that they can.
What's one way of getting to that? Is it to that place of acceptance? I'm just thinking about media and even things like, you know, people who have their perfect Instagram accounts where everything's just lovely and everything's so beautiful and in its place, and you might look at that and some people might get inspired, but other people might feel like I'm never gonna have a life like that.
Yeah.
And so that contrast between, you know, what people are portraying and what you're saying and what we all really know, that life is messy. It's very messy. How can you, you know, is it just a process of bringing yourself back to that thought that life is messy and accept it, it's okay, and just step, take a step at a time?
Look, I think, you know, what's there for me is something I've often said to people, is that every human being has this quality. Every human being has a disempowered character. You know, it doesn't matter if you're from, you know, South Africa or you're an Eskimo, it doesn't matter. You've got this aspect of yourself that's disempowered. So people who've got the happy, shiny Instagram, they're people who are great at covering up what's really going on. You know, that's the difference between a CEO of a company and the person who's on the front line, is that the CEO is just better at pretending that they're on top of things and they've got it handled better, right? That's how it works. So the happy, shiny image that we like to portray and that the media likes to portray, you know, you come to realize that that's a facade on some level. You know, you realize as you do more work on yourself and you go deeper into your own personal journey, you start to realize what's authentic and real, in a sense, you know. And so you let go of the need to want to create that facade as you start to journey. You know, you start to realize that, oh, okay, I've been through a hell of a lot of pain in my life. I've been through a hell of a lot of suffering. I've had a lot that I've had to deal with. And that's what makes me human. That's what allows me to connect to another human being. You know, when you meet somebody and they're going through hell, you've been through that hell, you can say to them, ah, which bit of hell are you in? Oh, yeah, that bit. Oh, yeah, I know that bit well, right? This is how we connect as human beings, right? We come together and we share our challenges.
Our humanness.
Yeah, this is what we do when we're being authentic. We share our humanness. Mm. You know, we share the challenges, the concerns, the worries, the doubts, the uncertainties, as well as the visions and the things that we're up to and the things we want to achieve and the things we have achieved. You know, we've got to be able to be with all the shitty, dirty side of things and at the same time celebrate all the wonderful things. You know, both sides are needed. Mm. And so that's the key, is that you sort of start to let go of that facade a little bit. You start to let go of that need to be happy and shiny. And you start to realize that, okay, there's a bit of an image that we're trying to portray in that. We're trying to keep a sort of a smoke screen up so people don't actually see who we really are. That seems to be what the game is. You know, we want them to see who we think we are, not who we really are. Once we drop that facade, once we let that go, and we start to show ourselves for who we really are, it's so much more richer. You know, it's deeper, it's richer, it's more authentic and real, it's more satisfying, it's more fulfilling. You know, this is the incentive of it. You start to realize, oh, wow, it wasn't that hard to, you know, it actually turned out to be really good. And so, you know, that's one of the keys, is this level of honesty and openness starts to show up.
Yeah, which, if it's okay, just
to
add, I think it's easy to look at Instagram posts and compare, and you know, compare yourself very easily and sort of question where you're at. I think what Ian's saying is to let go of the comparison with the standard or the norm or what you should be, and come back to respecting your own process and your own journey and your own life, even understanding that all the pain and everything that you've been through is worth something. We can gain power. We can turn our pain into power. We can become more human. We can become more authentic. We can become more connected and valued in that as well, and respected. But for that to happen we have to let go of the comparing. We have to respect our own process and our own journey and not compare.
And that's the journey of self-love. You know, that's really what it comes down to. Transformation is really a journey of going from being conditioned and inauthentic to becoming unconditioned and authentic. And that journey is a journey of self-love. It's the journey of loving all aspects of ourselves, all the shitty bits, all the crappy bits, all the ego bits, all the fears, all the doubts, all the worries, all the concerns, as well as all the ambitions and all the dreams and all the desires and everything else that we are. And we're incredibly complex. And so the journey is really allowing ourselves to accept and love all those parts.
And what a great feeling it is to be able to accept and love all parts of yourself. It makes you feel larger, like inside yourself, that you've got bits that are not so great. You've got bits that are just so exciting, and you've got bits that you're ashamed of. You know, if you can embrace all of it, I agree, it's much richer.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's play another song, Greg.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is The Art of Business, and we're talking about transformation and being real with Tracy Marcuzzi and Ian Nesbitt. It's such a fascinating idea how you can swing from trying to reach some goal to feeling disempowered and not trying at all anymore. And finding that space in the middle means accepting all of your messy parts of your life and being willing to just stand in it, and then what?
Well, I think it comes back to your caterpillar analogy, the old transformational caterpillar analogy, in the sense that if you think about the second character that's trying to get ahead, trying to be successful, it's almost like we're trying to not accept that stage, the pupae stage, I think it's called, is it, where, you know, the caterpillar stops and it goes into mush and it comes out as a butterfly. So, you know, a lot of people right now are going through a transformational process. And I can imagine that many people are probably stuck in their disempowered character. they're stuck in the disempowerment of the situation that they find themselves in. One of the great things about the disempowered character is that there's a lot of power in there. There's a lot of power that's possible for transformation. You know, so it's
if you unlock it.
If you unlock it, you know. And so the first step of that is you've got to allow yourself to accept that you're going to go through this mush. You're going to go through this period where you're gestating, you know. And sure, you can use that time to maybe, you know, clean things up, sort things out, and, you know, start to get a clearer idea of what you want to do and where you want to go in your life. You know, it's an opportunity to be more authentic with yourself. But at the same time, it also is a time to really accept what you really feel. You know, what pain is there, what you feel, what's no longer useful to you that you're now going to be letting go of.
Or is
being stripped away from you. You know, and so that's painful. You know, that can be painful because growth can be painful. And so, you know, there's also, you know, having the ability to see that, oh, while I'm going through this painful situation, I know that it's developing me, it's growing me, it's helping me to become a greater person.
If you have that understanding.
If you have that understanding, you know.
I guess that's what our message is. That's what we're here to remind people, that while things are being stripped away and your whole world is rearranging and changing and there's been a huge loss of identity and a loss of material and physical things, it's an opportunity to see that, you know, life has got a better plan for you. Life is reorganizing things at the moment for you to, you know, come through this challenge more wiser and more stronger, more resilient. We're having to go through like a collective purging to sort of wake up those parts of us that are really strong and fiery and that really want to step forward and kind of take the stage in whatever way. You know, there's a part of us that wants to protect and needs to protect other people. We need to protect ourselves. We need to, you know, step into new levels of creativity to generate our you know, our businesses, our ability to innovate. It's about allowing ourselves to spark those parts of ourselves that are going to get us through this stage. You know, if we sit back and we think, I don't have the power, you know, and that's part of the process, as Ian's saying, but that's not the whole game here. Yes. It's about recognizing that you do. You have the power through your choice and what you're now committing to. And things are going to be stirred up. You're going to care about things. You're going to want things deeply. You're going to feel the yearning for things to be put in place now. And so it's about, you know, what actions can I take? What can I be responsible for? What do I want to create in this world? What do I want to see happen now? What can I do? What steps can I take today that are going to work towards my vision of the world that I want to create, right? Because we're all creating our own reality. We're all creating our own world that we want to live in. So it's okay that there's upheaval. It's okay that there's, you know, a lot of things really tumultuous right now because they make us stop and think about what's important. What do we want? What am I taking a stand for? You know, and what steps can I take? You know, and that's where it's great to be part of a group or connect, you know, connect in with us if you need, you know, because we're here to remind people, hey, what kind of reality are you creating with you know, the parameters that you have right now? You know, you can still create within those parameters. You can still create something. You can still envision. You can still start to dream and let things, you know, kind of bubble to the surface from other parts of you that want to express out in the world. So,
well, what's the website for people to come and have a look at so, you know, they can connect with you?
They can get
or your Facebook.
Contact. Yeah, Ian and Tracy is our Facebook page.
Yep.
It's Being the One, which is Being the One, it's all onewordobviously.com.au is our website at the moment.
At the moment, it's all we're having to adapt. We're having to get a lot of our stuff online, so we're looking at online platforms at the moment. It's under Being the One, which is the name of our program that we took people through.
Yeah,
beingtheone.com.au. But find us on Facebook and reach out. You know, we're happy to chat with people. We know that people need solutions at this time. People need support. People want to know there's something else beyond just the dreariness of what's happening right now.
Grind.
There's something beautiful can emerge out of this, something richer for all of us, if we're willing to get real with ourselves and what we really desire and what we want to create in the world for ourselves and others.
Let's just go through those steps again, where we're starting with the cluttered room. We've got the two characters, a swing us from being like frantic to
overwhelmed.
And where do we go? Just take us through those steps again.
So then we accept that that's what we're doing. Then we interrupt that and we accept the room, we accept how the room is, and then we gently start to take one step at a time to sort those things out. And at the same time, we're asking ourselves on a deeper level, what do we really want here? What do we really want in life? What's really important to us? What matters the most? And so, you know, that allows us to get more authentic with ourselves. And then we take it from there.
And just to add, you know, when we are looking at all of our stuff, it can be an incredibly humbling experience. You know, owning what we've created so far, owning the messiness, you know, it takes something. It actually takes courage to look at it. So in this time, this is where we know people need emotional support tools as well, just to remind themselves the mess is okay and what's unfolding is okay and what you're seeing here is okay and all these things that you're believing is okay and there's alternatives.
Don't beat yourself up.
Fantastic. I love the fact that the mess is okay and to take it one sort of step at a time. So we don't need to go really, really fast. We don't want to stop. But that kind of in-between pace of just
gentle aspiration, as Ian said earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
Just give it one thing per day. What am I moving towards?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show. The Art of Business, Tracy and Ian. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Cora. Thank you, Greg, as well.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.